There was a big turnout in Fairbanks yesterday for a hearing on a draft management plan for the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is taking feedback on the 15-year plan, and as KUAC's Dan Bross reports, one aspect of the proposal is getting all the attention.
The plan includes a wilderness recommendation option for the refuge's coastal plain. The 1.5 million acre plain is eyed for oil and gas development, but also prized as important for wildlife. Gwich'in Athabaskan David Solomon of Fort Yukon was first in line to express his support for wilderness status. Solomon says the refuge area is central to his people's health and culture.
It's purified. It is sacred. It is where our caribou and all the animals start off when they go down to the lower 48. People in the lower 48 don't realize that that bird up there, when they first migrate up there, when they get their little ones, they grow up and then they fly down the lower 48. So all these things are being disturbed if they try to oil development up there.
Solomon cites the longevity of elders he credits to a subsistence diet dependent on the health of the refuge. Pam Miller, Arctic coordinator with the Northern Alaska Environmental Center, says the refuge's coastal plain is small compared to the over 10 million acres of state land on the North Slope already open to oil development.
It's the only part of Alaska's entire North Slope that is protected by law from oil and gas development. The rest of the North Slope has an ever-expanding sprawl of industrial development. That area has had harmful impacts to wildlife and to subsistence of people, and it's ever growing.
Miller says Department of Interior and National Academy of Sciences studies have confirmed impacts to wildlife will occur if oil development proceeds. She says that's still the case despite improved technology that's reduced the footprint of the industry. For others at the hearing, like labor union member Jim Plackey, the idea of any more wilderness in Alaska is unappealing.
It's just like Pac-Man. It seems like the federal government just wants to take more and more Alaska land, and I think Alaska has enough wilderness land already. So that's what we're here to say today, that no more wilderness destination.
Plackey was among a strong labor contingent on hand in support of opening the refuge. Local 942 business manager Tim Sharp said oil development in the refuge would result in more jobs for Alaskans.
The producers that we do have relationships with and that are smart enough to realize that if Alaskans aren't working, they're usually fighting a defensive battle for a lot of different reasons on taxation issues, on permitting, and so forth. So I think it would be common sense and an easy reach that Alaskans would be going to work if ANWR opens up.
Sharp said putting more Alaska oil on the market will also lessen demand for foreign crude. There are several steps between public hearings and a decision on the future of the Arctic Refuge's coastal plain. The Fish and Wildlife Service will release a final plan and preferred alternative in the spring. And even if it includes a recommendation for the coastal plain, Fish and Wildlife Service refuge planner Sharon Syme says that's just a first step.
The maximum that anybody within the Fish and Wildlife Service or the Department of Interior or even the President of the United States can do is potentially recommend wilderness or choose not to recommend additional wilderness. If Congress then chooses to act on a recommendation or to overturn that recommendation and open it to oil and gas, that's their prerogative.
In the meantime, Syme says the refuge management plan concerns more than the coastal plain. She says other focuses include issues related to climate change, visitor use, and wildlife-human interactions. The Fish and Wildlife Service will respond to substantive comments made at hearings around the state and online after the public input period closes November 15th. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.